He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Monday evening, Monday night, my time. I think it's Monday night back home too, right? It's like 10 o'clock. So we're at Monday night hours here on the West Coast as well. That voice that you heard there was Raj Chapalu. Tonight on the show, we are going to be talking about that Lakers loss to the Phoenix Suns that we just got, you know, watched. I tried to get Raj to talk about just the Dodgers for the entirety of this thing. I guess I am contractually obligated to talk about the Lakers. So that's what we will be doing here. Starting macro, I don't know. It's an annoying loss, you know, but it's one of 82. Kind of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, just one of those weird losses. That's probably the worst game that LeBron has played as a Laker. And you know, there are some issues I think that are still kind of sticking around here. You know, with these Lakers that are kind of annoying more so than they are like crucial concerning right now, critically concerning. Honestly, Raj, like, you know, you want to know why the Lakers lost this one? I had Pete on the show earlier today, and I said a lot of nice things about the Lakers. I just went on and on and on and on and on about how much I believe in them. And you know what, everybody, to everybody who's listening right now, everybody who's watching live, my bad.
Yeah.
This is why, like, you know, people say that I complain too much. I'm doing y'all a public service. I'm helping the Lakers be better, because every single time I say nice things about the Lakers, bad things happen.
Yeah, for sure. We got to get you back on the pessimistic side of things. I'll keep the positivity around here.
Yeah,
Anthony, real quick before we get into the Lakers, like, I think I do want to start with the Dodgers a little bit, because I was at the game on Friday where you know they played at the same time. So I know you're not supposed to, like, being from a city isn't really like a patriotic thing, but this is the most like of an Angelino I felt, you know what I mean? And I think I just underestimated how much of a Dodger city this is.
Yeah.
Anthony, at that game, it doesn't matter where you sat. If you looked at your left or your right, there was a Dodger game on someone's phone. Everywhere you look. And it was just a super cool experience. We were down 22, so a lot of people were like, let's just go watch the Dodger game, right? And so they were only showing the Dodger game on one TV, okay? So because they didn't want everyone out watching the Dodger game. And so there's this little sushi bar in Crypto that is like packed with hundreds of people there watching the Dodger game. And so a lot of people were leaving, coming back, leaving. Oh, wait, we're down only 13 now? I'm like, yeah, we're only down 13. And so like they just keep going back and forth. Yeah, I just thought that was a super cool experience. Dodgers obviously won today, but it was like a live reaction to the Grand Slam. It wasn't they checked the score and they saw it. Like, as the ball got hit, the crowd started screaming. I just thought that was really cool. But yeah, it just, I underestimated how much of a like Dodger town with the Laker town this is. And it was just a cool experience and a cool, cool weekend for LA.
Well, LA gets shit on all the time. For sports fandom, people think of like the executive suites, and they think of like the lower bowl, which are usually like, you know, tickets that get handed out in corporate fashion, and it makes that kind of viewing experience kind of quiet down there. But if you go up and you sit in those nosebleeds with like the real Lakers fans, you have like generational fandom for all of these teams, right? You have you have some Rams fans because they left, and then you have some Raiders fans because they left too. So it's not quite like that with football, but you know, between the Lakers and the Dodgers, like, this is actually something that back when I was at Locked On,
I basically pitched. I was like, hey, LA's this crazy sports town. Like, it's a just, I pitched it to David all the time. I don't know if they ever actually did it, but I told him all the time, Locked On LA. I'm telling you, just you can leverage my audience. My audience is going to go there and they'll listen to that show too. You can leverage Locked On Dodgers. At that time, he was trying to get me to host Locked On Dodgers too. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have the ability for it, or the time for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy, like, by the way, that, like, Vince, and Snydog took it over because they do a great job too. And I was like, man, they and I were doing crossover episodes trying to get that relationship going, because there is so much passion for the Lakers and the Dodgers and that crossover fandom. And this last weekend was one of the first times in a long time, maybe since I moved out here, that from, like, a purely sports fan perspective, yeah, I really was bummed that I wasn't back home. Like, this is the first time, like, I miss my family all the time. I miss my friends. I miss, like, friends of, like, the, that like we grew up with variety, but then also, like, the friends that, like, I've made in this industry who I'd grown close with too. Like, I'll miss people like that all the time. But that was the first time that I missed the city, because I just know that city was buzzing.
It's crazy because I go to quite a few Laker games a year. And so the whole news, right, Anthony, I don't know if you're watching, but it was calling it Carmageddon, right? Because there's a USC game going on at the same time. Obviously, the Lakers were playing and the Dodgers were playing. So all the news stations were like, get there early, get there early. I've never seen that many people there at 5:30 for a Laker game. The line was around the whole stadium to get in. And yeah, you get in and it's packed. People are in Dodger gear. People have half Dodger, half Laker jerseys on. Super cool environment just to be a part of. And then once, that grand slam hit, you could just feel the wave across the arena. And it felt like they gave a battery to the Lakers. Like, the Lakers,
they went on an 8-0 run.
Yeah, right after that.
They showed the homer on the Jumbotron. The Lakers immediately ripped off an 8-0 run, took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously they took over and got the win. But yeah, that was just a super cool thing to be a part of and just feel the energy there and everybody there for, like, one common goal and one same rooting interest. So yeah, super great weekend. Hopefully the Dodgers close it out tomorrow.
Yeah, if I was to nitpick, not thrilled about the idea that, like, they could win a World Series on a Tuesday. Like, that hangover is going to suck on a Wednesday. I'm just not really,
what's wrong with Tuesdays? Now I realize, like, okay.
You get judged if you're like, God, my head hurts. Like, on, like, a Tuesday, like a Wednesday meeting, you're like, are you okay? It's like, yeah, I'm doing great. Loving life. But yeah, that is a really cool thing to notice. And like, the part of it too, Raj, that, like, really makes all of this really cool is that, like, it's fun for me, and this is going to sound old man talking down to young person, but it's fun for me to watch you, like, get more and more and more invested in this Dodgers team, because of this run that they're on, because the Lakers also happen to be playing good basketball. Because there's that crossover element, and you see that, like watching you call yourself an Angelino. I've never seen you refer to yourself as such. Like, that's really cool. That's really cool. There's just nothing better than sports in that regard and in their unifying ability. Let's talk about this game though. The Lakers lose to the Phoenix Suns. By the way, to those of you who are watching live, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. If you missed the episode earlier today with Pete and me, it was a great one. I texted Pete right after. That was a banger. Had a really good time talking basketball with him. Love doing that as often as I can. So check that out. And again, the way that this game played out, LeBron not being able to, like, he looked like he got monstered in this one. I blame myself personally for how that all played out, but the Lakers do lose to the Phoenix Suns 105-109. There are some concerns that have now stuck around for four games, and we'll get into some of those. But overall, I'm not that bothered by this one. It's hard to beat the same team twice in a week. You're playing in their house this time. You know, you jump out to the big lead, and I thought JJ kind of messed with the rotations a little bit in this one. He actually, after the game, took accountability for it, said that they scored 14 points in a quarter, and that's on him. So yet another, you know, box that he checks that Darvin did not. In that ability or in that willingness to take real accountability and explain why a loss was on him. So that's good. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because the Dodgers won, you know, and took a commanding 3-0 lead that I'm just like in too good of a mood to be bothered by this. But
right.
Like even if it happened in a vacuum and the Dodgers hadn't won a, you know, series crippling road game in the World Series in New York against the Yankees, Aaron Austin's agent, get at me, bud. but yeah, I'm not too bothered by this loss.
Yeah, me either. I don't even think it's an exaggeration to say this might be LeBron's worst game, like as a player in his career. 3 for 14 from the field. He had 7 points pretty much until I think with 5 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And so it's tough to win a game when you're, you know, 25 to 28 points per game player is just not producing, you know, at the level you expect. I thought Anthony Davis was awesome. Again, looks like the best player in the league right now, defensively, offensively. I believe he was a plus in this game. Yeah, it was a plus 14 in a game that we lose by whatever we did. So I don't really have concerns. Anthony, I'm a little bit more excited. Like, if this is the Rui that we're going to get and this is the Austin that we're going to get, I'm pretty excited about this season. But, yeah, can't be too upset. I thought KD hit a lot of tough shots. This is where I thought, like, the Vanderbilt injury really reared its head, in my opinion. Not having one more switchable defender to put on him. We were having Gabe switch on him. I thought this was, like, D'Lo's best defensive game maybe in a very long time. Who again had a really tough shooting night, but I thought he defended well. Gabe defended really well. Still can't shoot. Really concerned about Max. I'm sure we'll speak about him later. But I'm not really too concerned either. 3-1 on the season. You go to Cleveland, and then after that, you get a couple more easier games in Detroit. I believe the other, you know, and Toronto. You get Toronto and Detroit coming up after Cleveland. So a chance to really kind of continue to stack some wins. Not really too upset at the effort. I thought we coached a good game, man. You held the Suns to whatever we did. I think they had like 104 points throughout. We actually won the KD minutes, which I was surprised looking at the box score. KD finishes a -6, which surprising because it felt like he hit every big shot down the stretch. Shots that you kind of live with. It's like contested two after contested two. I'm not mad about this. Last year's team gets blown out tonight, in my opinion. Like LeBron, 7 points going into the fourth. That team has no chance to kind of.
Well, this is what's weird, right? Is that like, you know, last game against the Kings, you have AD finish a -22.
Yeah.
This one, you have LeBron finish a, what is he? -17. The Lakers won one of those games and had opportunities to win this one.
Yep.
You know, and I think like that really kind of speaks to that focus on the margins. Like, remember, it was taking like LeBron and AD combining for like 80 points for them to have a chance at winning games. And, you know, frankly, I don't think LeBron has been playing very good basketball at the beginning of this season. In terms of the games, you want a funny story? I said this. I just popped into the coach's den a little bit after the Dodgers game while I was getting ready for this, and I told the story there too. But I have an article that's dropping tomorrow. That's this like sourced article that kind of takes you behind the scenes of an aspect of the Bronny experience that I don't think has gotten very much attention, and I have a quote from a Lakers staffer basically being like, this is the most engaged LeBron
yeah
has been in practice at the beginning of a year. And I'm like,
and this is the game he shows. Yeah.
I kind of want to talk to Clutch Points and be like, let's hey, maybe we should out. Hold off on this one. Maybe we should.
Yeah, wait for the Cleveland game.
Save it for the for a day that isn't the morning after a right. game that LeBron barely squeaks up to the 10 points that he got to keep that streak alive. But yeah, I don't know. Like I don't think the results are quite there for LeBron on the court in these games. I think actually this is something that he used to do in Cleveland, where he would kind of take a back seat and he would let the team kind of figure it out on their own. And then because he is so talented, because he's so smart and all of that stuff, he would then kind of like figure out what the team would need from him.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have afforded him that opportunity, right? They're 3-1. If they've afforded him the opportunity to kind of like take a step back. We have Austin on the ball a lot more in this setting or this season so far. You have AD operating as a hub, which is, you know, taking some time to get used to as well. And I think it, you know, I'm not concerned about LeBron, even if again, like I'm saying this on the other end of the worst LeBron game that I think I've seen as a Laker. I'd have to go back and look, but this is probably pretty high up there. I don't know. I think this is more like his approach to the season is more like feeling things out than I'm concerned that like he doesn't have that extra gear anymore.
Me too.
We just saw it over the summer. I don't think he doesn't have that gear. I don't think it's a matter of not having that gear.
I don't think so either. And you know, it's just funny because obviously this is a bad LeBron game, 3-for-14, but like for him, a terrible game is 11, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, right? Like that, like it's still stuffing the stat sheet in different ways. You know, 3 missed free throws, which I thought kind of impacted the game. But I think you're right. Like he's looking, he's like, look, Rui has 18. Like,
yeah,
I'm not messing with this. Austin's cooking. He had 4 or 5. He had 5 threes in the fourth quarter or going into the fourth, I believe. AD was a monster. They could not guard him. I thought we should have got AD the ball a little bit more. Like when they put Royce O'Neal on AD, I was like, scrap the offense. Like there's no offense anymore.
All right, I think this might be counterintuitive. I might have like the unpopular opinion on this front, but okay. I think Phoenix did that to get the Lakers out of their offense. Like you know, if it's that bad of a matchup, a lot of times like the you know it's the other coach basically like trying to get the Lakers out of a rhythm and trying to get them going out of their way to get AD the ball because. The thing with post-ups is that like they become very stagnant very easily. So I actually was happy that they weren't like force feeding. I wish they would have done a little bit more as far as like getting him in pick and rolls. Like you have Royce O'Neal guarding him. You could do more high-low stuff there, you know, because Royce was working really hard to get, you know, at least a quarter to half front on mm-hmm. 80, if not a full on some possessions. That's where like I would like to have seen a little bit more weak side action to get the ball into the high post that would allow you to get, you know, those that like volleyball type play. But the other thing tough there too is that like KD is a legit 7-footer and that kind of throws those kind of plays out of rhythm too. So I didn't have too big of a problem with the offense. They scored 105 points. I thought they were generating good looks.
Yeah.
The problem, Raj, is honestly like, and this is, you know, I guess we can kind of dive into some of the more kind of longer term concerns here. D'Lo hasn't been good offensively so far. He hasn't looked comfortable. You mentioned the defense and that's good. I'm happy that he's bought in and he's trying to make his impact at least there. But so far this season, D'Lo, I don't know if the stats have refreshed to include tonight's 2-of-9 performance, but he's shooting 31.3% from three so far this year. And a lot of those looks, Raj, are wide open. And that tells me he's not comfortable out there.
Yeah, I think he's still trying to figure it out. And he did have 8 assists tonight, and I thought his playmaking kind of did help the team get organized. 8 assists to 2 turnovers. That's pretty good. It was a +0 on the night. Again, I thought he defended Devin Booker, you know, as well as D'Lo can. But yeah, I just don't think he's comfortable yet in whatever offensive role. I was very clear they're trying to push him more and more off the ball. It's clear that Austin's kind of really like gained the on-ball creator. It's still wild, Anthony, to watch. Like, you have LeBron James walking up on one side of the court. You have Anthony Davis in the paint. And our fourth quarter offense is like, Austin, you run the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not like because Austin's hot one night. That's what our go-to is. But I think, again, when you like put that as the backdrop, then it puts D'Lo in a place where, well, my only contribution is going to be on threes. So all that, like, I still think there's places where D'Lo can like get to his, put a guard on his back, floater range, stuff like that, that like can really kickstart him. But when it's all threes, he took 13 shots tonight, Anthony, 9 from 3, like, that, you know, that split to me, he's just not hot enough for where that can work for him right now. But I'd like to get him to go to the free throw line a little bit more, only 2 free throws. The Suns start a lot of small guards where he should be able to take advantage. Tyus Jones is a guy that should not be able to guard him, you know, for whatever minutes Tyus played tonight. Like, that's a guy that he should not be able to hide on. But I think his aggression level, and I think this is what he's being told too. I think D'Lo's being told, you're the, you know, move the ball, get the ball flowing in the half court. Move it to the left, to the weak side, to the strong side, and just try to get our offense in rhythm and don't worry about your scoring. And I think that's really what he's at, where he's at with it. But yeah, the shooting's not good enough yet. We need his shooting volume. And some of those threes, like I think he took one late in the fourth, which was like 3 steps behind the 3-point line. Some of the shot selection with that, I'd like it to be better. But you know, he's bought
in. One that like barely drew iron.
Yeah, I think we were down 3 and he tried to tie it with like 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left. Those are the ones, like, you have AD there and we've like already played Nurkic off the floor. Again, I don't think Plumlee's a guy that can really stay with AD when he's attacking. Like, I would like to feed that. And I think I have to go back and rewatch, but I think like AD was telling D'Lo on that three, like after the timeout, like, throw it up to me, like throw it up to me.
Yeah.
But D'Lo was like, I was throwing it to the rim. But
get the rebound. Yeah. I think it's, you know, and one of the things that Pete and I talked about earlier today was that, like, I don't think they're very far, you know, away from needing to split up Austin and D'Lo because of the stuff we're talking. It just looks like the ball rotates over to D'Lo, and even as he's like getting ready to shoot on this catch and shoot, it's either like, can I just dribble once, or it's like, I'm good to shoot here. Can I shoot? I'm going to shoot. It's going up. We're good. And it just doesn't look very comfortable right now. And maybe it's a matter of waiting for it to get comfortable, but also, like, I think the idea of staggering Austin and D'Lo more than they have, like, so far this season, they've had LeBron sub out first and Max come in for LeBron. Mm-hmm. I would actually like D'Lo to sub out first and have Dalton come in for D'Lo in that spot. And then, you know, we'll see how things look also with Vanderbilt. I thought this game really kind of showcased why they miss Vando, because if you're closing games with Gabe and, you know, he's not shooting the ball, we're talking about the way that D'Lo isn't shooting the ball. Gabe isn't making very much, you know, very many threes either. And both of those guys are getting open threes, and they're the ones that they're missing. So it's like, if you guys aren't making open threes, well, we have another guy who won't make open threes, who defends, you know, and is big enough to make an impact defensively. So I do think eventually, like, you know, I sent out a tweet today about like what the tweaks are that the Lakers are thinking about, you know, short term versus long term and stuff like that. I do think eventually one of, if not both, D'Lo and Gabe won't finish the season as Lakers this year, which kind of makes me think that it makes, like, I know Max has been kind of frustrating, but it makes me think that you kind of have to stick with them and just see if you can find a better spot to put him in, because right now he's coming in for LeBron. He's the exact kind of player who needs to play with LeBron. He's also out there on the court when Gabe gets out there, and the Gabe and Max combination has just been abysmal this year. I have to look it up. I don't think NBA.com has updated their lineup stats yet, but that those groups have just been skid marks on all of these games. So I don't know. Of the guards that I mentioned there, D'Lo, Max, Gabe, Who kind of can, like, what's your ranking there of like concern moving forward?
Ranking? Yeah. I mean, I think, well, Max is kind of my most concern, cause I think he's more important to what we do than maybe the other two right now. So probably Max, Gabe, then D'Lo. I think D'Lo is going to figure his offense out eventually. And I've seen enough of D'Lo. He's been in the league, you know, long enough. I understand it. But Anthony, I mean, Gabe is averaging 3 points a game. Like, he came here as a scorer. Like, came here as a scorer. I know you have continued to, you know, harbor the point that he's not a shooter, which is fine. Like, that's fine. He's not an efficient shooter. He's not a 3-point game scorer. Like, that's insane. He came here as a bucket getter. He's supposed to like fill the Dennis Schroeder route. But yeah, if he can't score, like, that's super concerning to me. And our bench, I thought that's where we lost this game, honestly. We went Gabe, Max, D'Lo, LeBron, and I think Hayes.
Yeah.
And Katie ate that lineup up. Like, and it was some tough shots, but it's also like, I don't think
it's not tough though, because like Gabe is guarding him. And he's like, Gabe, when Katie elevates, Gabe is like eye level with his waist.
Bye, everyone.